And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Allen, Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live! Woo!
Welcome into Gravel Talk. It is episode number 121.
No, it's not. Not yet.
Episode
You know the number then?
It's either 118 or 119. I'll know for sure
when
I'm putting this together.
Yeah,
I mean, you were close. It's just,
he was off by three. We haven't actually kept counting how many episodes.
That's true. Normally, I keep count by the fact that I just have to look at our Podbean page and be like, oh, one whatever was this week, and next week will be this.
Interesting stuff, AC Riley. Well, thanks
for
joining us
here
on Grapple Talk, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nick Ragnar, AC Riley to my left, Jesse Von Ruden right in front of me. We are live streaming on Facebook. You're hearing this after that live stream goes on. So hello, Facebook world, and thanks for watching us here on Grapple Talk. We're going to be trying to do that, I guess, a couple times, maybe even every time we do this now, just our first segment. We'll be trying to live stream, so maybe you can get a little sneak preview and then see how stupid we're looking when we're actually talking. See some of the
very stupid looking
inappropriate gestures that we do that you can't actually see when you
well, I mean,
to the podcast.
It depends. You know, if we have to actually pander towards the camera now.
Well, I don't think we have to necessarily pander to it. It's just, you know, this table is, you know, a pretty open field for the camera. So if you're making inappropriate gestures and it's in the line of sight, then you're good
just
to go.
Back up a little bit.
You know what the coolest thing about this, Nick, is?
What's that?
If we start talking about real sports, we can actually watch as the world watches.
We have
AC Riley fall asleep.
Documented footage of AC Riley.
It's a scientific
out.
Study.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right. That's true. Because that's if right. you guys talk about baseball, I'm not going to follow
Speaking
you.
Speaking of, I mean, you just made your draft pick in our Dynasty Football League, and you picked Malcolm. Oh, there he goes. He fell asleep.
Well, I was pretty quick.
That's actually how it really is. So anyways, now we're getting a little off topic. So upcoming shows, lots of shows in the Midwest indie scene this weekend. Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, place to go.
I think I found close to 30.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's
close to 30 shows in the area. A lot of shows in Ohio, the majority of it. But, I mean, there was a couple shows here in Wisconsin. Some shows in Indiana, but most of them are coming out of Ohio, and of course there's the Battleground coming up on Sunday, and I absolutely love the independent wrestling poster they always make for the pay-per-view, so I included that as kind of a plug to the network, just including the upcoming shows preview.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there's the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame going on this weekend, too, in Iowa.
Yeah, that's also included in the
Waterloo
list as well.
So. Yep. So check that out, Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, place to go for all the details on that. Guys, obviously this past weekend you had busy weekends. You both were out doing some wrestling little bit. I did not. I kind of stayed home and enjoyed a weekend off. But
cool.
Let's start with you. Okay, it's actually pretty nice. I know that a lot of wrestlers probably don't get that because, you know, a lot of times you're on the road every weekend, whether it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all 3 days, 2 days, maybe just one. But, you know, having that weekend off sometimes, you just kind of sit back, relax, you know, enjoy some Netflix binging, like HBO. I finished True Detective, the first season, which
heard really good things about the first season.
Man, it's so good. Matthew McConaughey was amazing in it.
What's
as well
your,
as
password,
Woody Harrelson.
So.
I don't remember, and I'm not going to tell you. And actually, I do remember. I'm just not going to tell you what it is.
That's because it's now a federal crime. If
it is
you share
actually
Netflix
yeah.
accounts.
That's some.
I know it's weird because here's another thing that I end up hearing as well is that apparently I don't know if this is actually true, but if you're actually on your Netflix account and someone logs in on another port, whether it's computer, you know, Xbox console, whatever, will it log out of the other one? Because I've heard that you can only have like one port available at a time
for Netflix.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
It seems ridiculous. Why do you actually have separate accounts?
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't know if that's actually the case either because, like, you know, we share HBO Go at our house, and you guys will watch, like, Game of Thrones in your room, and then I'll watch it in, you know, the main room. And I don't think
I'm actually watching Red Shoe Diaries.
Is that what you're actually – I knew you were watching something that wasn't Game of Thrones. I can hear all
so
of
like,
it.
That's
come on. You don't do that in the main room.
Hey, look, they can see all of your –
Yep. Practicing. And jesters. All right, cool. So anyhow, yeah, I had two shows this past week, and I went down to BCW for, down in Milwaukee. That was a lot of fun. It was an easy road trip. Of course, a great crowd as always. But what really kind of sucked, though, was I had an early afternoon show the next day in Elk River.
Right.
So, of course, Milwaukee's 3 hours this way, so I drive 3 hours back this way, sleep for like 4 or 5 hours, get on the road, and have to be in Elk River by 12:30.
And Elk River's what drive?
3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where we got to the venue. It was just a Harley Davidson place, you know. So it's kind of like doing the old SWE Harley Havoc
yep.
shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we pull in, had to pull in a separate parking lot, and then all of a sudden, like Chris Hoffman calls me. He's like, "Hey man, I just wanted to make sure that you're actually on your way up here because Tony called me and you haven't got here yet." I'm like, "Chris, I pulled in the parking lot. I have to drive 3 hours, man." He's like, "Oh, I understand, you know, blah, blah, blah." And so I get there, and of course, you know, I have to wait forever to shoot promos with the guys because like half of them are just. You know, they wanted to talk about whatever, you know.
Any good promos out of the bunch? Anybody you want to give a shout out to?
On the spot?
That's a good question. Who was there? Like, Jacob Savage had a pretty decent promo, as always.
Is that the guy that did the Jake Cena thing at Crush Pro?
Yeah. Ryan Cruz was there. He cut a pretty good one.
Cool.
And him and Jake Savage had a really good main event match. It was actually kind of... It was good because, like, you get a smaller crowd, you can interact with the crowd a lot
yep.
more, and
mm-hmm.
Cruz was just all over that crowd, like, over that crowd.
Right.
So that was really good. It was kind of weird, though. Like, the first match, though, I think the crowd, a couple of the wrestlers forgot which side of the ring they should work, you know, because they're like, "Oh, I'm just going to work, like, this side of the ring." Oh, well, the crowd was in a horseshoe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the majority of them were, like, opposite of the stage.
Right.
So they're working holds towards the stage, and I'm like, "Why, guys? Why?" I'm sitting there like, "Oh, you sons of bitches."
Yep.
You know, like, why do this? So, like, dude ends up winning his match, and instead of like turning and posing towards the crowd, he turns and poses towards the stage.
Oops.
And I'm like, man, that's just weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But it was a good weekend. Ended up getting done early then, and made it down to Rochester quick enough to go to Katie Pence's housewarming party. That was
nice.
A lot of fun. I met the Pence's. I met her current boyfriend. That was interesting, you know. I guess he's a long-distance runner, and he's going on a bachelor party trip down in Chicago in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop talking there and just say he's going on The Bachelor.
No. He wouldn't be doing that if he was dating Pence. I mean, he won The Bachelor.
I mean, you never know. Like, some people, they are in a relationship, and then they're just like, "Hey,
you
I'm
money
gonna...
for that stuff, guys."
Yeah. So anyhow, he's going down to Chicago for a bachelor party, and he's like, "Hey, man, I Katie says you're really big into wrestling. Is there any wrestling shows going down in Chicago the weekend of, like, last week in August?" I'm like, "Hey, man, I'll look. You know, this is the places you want to hit up and stuff like that." Mm-hmm. So
this dude's a pro wrestling fan.
No, I guess like his friend who's getting married is pro wrestling.
Oh,
friend. So they want to hit up a show, you know, because it's nice, easy stuff.
Cool.
You can just have fun. You can drink beer and all that fun
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah,
so.
That does sound like a lot of fun.
I know there's a lot of stuff happening in the Midwest on August 20th, but I'm not sure about like the 26th.
Well, like
27th,
the 19th is one of the busiest days going on.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
But other than that, yeah, it was an easy weekend. What about you, AC? I heard you had to go to NOW.
Yeah, before we get
and
to
you actually wrestled your alter ego.
Yeah, I wrestled my alter ego. But really quick, too, before we get to me, but like BCW kind of talked about.
Well, I'm kind of surprised he didn't want to get to himself right away.
No, like, you know, so BCW, since I was going to go with you, but, mm-hmm. you know, because of some issues with
well, your grandma had a stroke the previous weekend.
Well, yeah, like my grandma had a stroke. So, I mean, she was kind of getting worse, you know, with her condition. And a recent update is that they've removed her machine. And they're just trying to make her comfortable. So it's one of those things where I'm actually glad that I don't have any shows this weekend, so that mm-hmm. way I can stay here in the area in case something, you know, turns for the worse. But I was going to go with you to the show. I was going to hang out with Sean Priest because him and I were both off.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how was the show just in general? Because I missed it.
It was a good show.
I was looking forward to it.
It was a very good show, and it was probably the most rewarding show I've been on in a while because you weren't there.
Yes, the burns keep coming.
But no, it was a really good show. They had another packed crowd. The main event was the dog collar match between Durden and Matt Winchester. Mm-hmm. It was what you expected a dog collar match to be. I was always really kind of surprised about the amount of, I don't know, like sometimes you have manager characters, and Nick will know this as well, where sometimes you actually get, you can rip it, go right ahead. And sometimes you might get involved in way too many segments.
Yeah.
That kind of started happening with Ashley Madison a little bit. She was in almost every segment except for one.
Yeah.
Cool, though, to see the perfect time to actually win the AIWF Tag Team Championships. Mm-hmm. That was a pleasant surprise. I was really kind of surprised about that. Winchester, of course, retained against Jake Durden.
Sure.
It's going to be interesting to see where these guys are going to go next with this relationship with the AIWF, because we've seen like the previous relationships with other companies and like other acronyms and stuff like that. It seems like at some point everything falls through. But I think the working relationship with these guys right now is going really strong. And with them coming up into their state fair show, packed with names, the Rock and Roll Express is going to be there. It's one of the biggest shows they've had, bar none. I think it's only up and up for BCW.
Yeah, definitely. I got to see the live stream because Frankie DeFalco posted it for the match. But I wanted to get your opinions on Sierra versus Thunder Rosa, because that was also on that card.
Solid match. Really good match. Because you're looking at Thunder Rosa, first time actually seeing her live. And she's a great gal. Like, their chemistry worked really well. Similar size, similar style. So it was one of those things where both of them just were able to gel and tell a really good story. And Sierra picking up the upset victory was a pleasant surprise.
Definitely. You know, now was also a good time. It was up in Greenleaf. Interesting venue because it's
kind of like the stuff that you put in your mouth and you chew on.
Yeah, kind of like that. So we are at this place called the Slammer Inn again. It's a bar that I think Jason Jerry owns or either has some affiliation with, because I think
he just drinks there.
I don't know. Maybe he just drinks there. Maybe that's it. But it was an outdoor show similar to Saucy's, but unlike Saucy's, it's actually in a volleyball pit, so it's almost like outdoor Baba Louie's.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we were basically wrestling in
a giant cat box.
Yeah, basically a giant cat box. That's basically what it was. It was a good show though. I mean, like, it drove up with Nathan Sensation, Aaron Sacrifice. It was good to have those guys.
Don't
do it. It was a lot of fun just because you know, seeing those guys out on the road again and everything, and you know, going on the show with them in Midlothian was a lot of fun because they're essentially getting out of their comfort zones and they're able to expand. They were basically wrestling against Joey Avalon, Jordy Lee, who are basically, you know, as they've been dictated, they've been turned into the gatekeepers of NOW and WPW. So basically, Nathan and Aaron were wrestling the gatekeepers. So it was like a good experience for them, because then they're wrestling the guys that it's like, all right, can you hang with them? If so, then you might get brought back here more. And that's great, because that means that's more time on the road and more experience, especially for Aaron, because even though Aaron's been around as long as I have, he doesn't have the experience that I have, just because he only was wrestling for NAW for so long, and they only wrestle like three times a show.
I don't want to keep saying that Nathan Sensation's a rookie, because if you talk to Nathan, that dude's been everywhere
around
as well.
He's been around as, you know, with guys like Devlin Kane, Jared Jacks. Like, you know, he's been around since, you know, for a long time. So, I mean, he's not a rookie. It's just that, you know, he's been in that point where he's only wrestling for, like, RCCW, because that's really all the connections he has. And that's fine, but, I mean, I think he wants to do more shows, so it's good to get it. It's good that he wants to do that, and I'm able to give him that opportunity, so I'm excited for
that. Oh, yeah, it's one of those opportunities where you were given the opportunity to go to other shows, and I'm actually kind of glad you're actually giving other people the opportunity to go outside their horizons and stuff like that. That's really cool, especially for Nathan and for Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the show itself, it was all right. I mean, the matches were fine. It's just you know, there's always those crowds that are just like they like certain people, but overall it's like Beaver Dam, where it's like, most people are going to enjoy, you know, Chase McCoy, but everybody else is like, I don't really know what this is, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the matches were solid.
So no one cheered or booed for you?
I mean, people booed for me because I was being an asshole. But I actually, it was funny, though, because I actually did get a cheer because I got on the mic and I said, because Banty was ring announcing. So I said, like, I know everybody's trying to be nice to you because you stepped up, and that's great because, you know, we lost our ring announcer. But I just got to say, you have been absolutely awful doing ring announcing. And I heard somebody cheer for me over where the entrance of the bar was. And I, courtesy of Nathan Gus, I got the line that you sound like a banshee that's been hit by a truck that was lit on fire.
Wow.
And it was funny. But Gus said that I was only allowed to say that because of my previous experience with Melissa, opposed to anybody else just saying that.
I guess that's the X factor.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Aaron had a good match with Avalon. I thought that was a great opportunity for him because Avalon, as we've discussed, is one of the best in the area.
That's a dichotomy of size there, too.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, Avalon did a great job with Aaron. I mean, obviously these two have really never interacted too much. I mean, the one time they were on the same show was when Aaron was doing commentary with you at the campus show. Mm-hmm. But it's not like they were really discussing too much or whatever.
They had a whole conversation
together. Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Huge conversation. You know what they talk about?
What's that?
Location.
Oh, location?
Yep.
I get it. Jordy and Nathan had a good match as well. It was good for both those guys that they...
Is Jordy still doing the alien gimmick?
Alien gimmick. What do you mean?
You know, like he doesn't think he's from around here.
I don't know if he was really doing that.
So he's alien to the area.
I don't think he was really talking about that. Maybe he was, and maybe he can enlighten us on that, but I don't think he was. What else?
How was wrestling yourself?
That was fun. It was good because it was fun just because Devin Drake was ringside just watching because he was, you know, just enjoying his show after he worked the opening match. But he was just heckling, and it was pretty fun to have him ringside there because the end of my match was I went to go grab the RCCW City Lacrosse belt because I was defending it there. And then ref pulled away the belt. I grabbed the Tidy Cat box that the cat brought out. I smacked the cat with it, and then I, all of a sudden I hear Devin, "Do it again." So I thought it was just...
Did you do it again?
I did not do it again.
Wow.
Because that's what they wanted to see, and I was like, nope.
Ah,
just
nice.
Doing it once, because that's all I'm going to get away with. Also, the main event, because it was at a volleyball court, they had, like, the cage, you know, border, whatever, just for the outside. So in typical NOW fashion, they used that to their advantage. They called it a Hell in a Cell match. And it was Sadus versus Garrison Creed. And,
okay.
You know, Garrison Creed, he's an up-and-cover from the Dojo of Pain. Those two had a solid match. Their timing was great. You know, his selling was great, his emotions, his work and everything. And it was weird to think that dude has had his 11th match. So as of Saturday, he's had 11 matches, and he had not only a great match with Sadus, who, again, another person we've said is one of the best in the Midwest, but on top of that, he was in the main event. So his first main event, 11 matches in, he did a great job. Like, even after the match when Sadus won, like, he was just like, hey, you know, all seriousness, this is his 11th match. He did a fantastic job. So I thought that was really cool to get that kind of respect, you know, from a veteran like Sadus to be like, hey, this is still a kid. He's still a rookie, but damn, he's getting fucking good.
All right, cool. Well, let's mark it down on the calendar right now. This is the day where Garrison Creed's, you know, humility went down the drain, and he got a big head. All thanks to AC Riley.
No, that's the funny part too. Is like we were talking afterwards, and everybody was complimenting, you know, Creed about how he did and everything. And I was actually the person that was just like, you know, hey, do you have any critique for him so he at least can fit his head in the car on his way back home? And I mean, he got some critique eventually, but it was that joke that it's like there was a lot of good, and it was hard to find the negative. But like it was, I mean, you need that negative to kind of know it's like, hey, it wasn't obviously perfect.
Yep.
You know, what can I work on? And he got some stuff to work on, but it was that joke to make sure it's like, hey, make sure your head is, otherwise it's not like Scary Movie 3 with the giant cowboy hat.
Yeah, that was hilarious. So pretty much when you look at that, the great thing about NOW, and we got to move on here a little bit because I think we're kind of stretching the segment a little long.
Sure.
The great thing
probably
about NOW.
Too long.
Yeah, it's supposed to be an opening segment. It kind of ran into
Time, though, I think it's a good way for us to like loosen up before we start talking about like the national topics and we're just shooting the shit about wrestling.
Oh, I totally agree. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I got nothing more to add, so we can move
I just on. Wanted to say that I think NOW is great because you're getting things like where you guys kind of talked about all of it, but you're getting Joey Avalon, Aaron Sacrifice, you're getting Nathan Sensation, Jordy Lee, you're getting Garrison Creed, a rookie taking on Sadus. You don't get that anywhere else throughout the state, and that's a great thing, whether people want to poke fun at NOW for making wrestling fun, because some people have been doing that over the past couple of months, but when they're giving opportunities, the guys that aren't getting opportunities elsewhere, you know, that's a great thing that they're doing, and got to say kudos to the guys behind NOW for doing things like that and giving people the opportunities. Speaking of opportunities, we are moving on along. We're talking about some national stuff
now, guys.
The king
of segues.
We got the draft that happened, and obviously when we're talking about opportunities, guys, this opens things up for just about everybody on that roster because when you look at it, I mean, when you look at the first 10 picks, you got maybe some solidified guys that could fight for a world championship, but then it kind of thins out a little bit. So now you're seeing some of the mid-card guys that have an opportunity to kind of do something and take that next step. Let's just open the discussion up, guys. Whoever wants to talk can talk. The draft happened on Tuesday. What are your guys' initial thoughts?
Initial thoughts right away. It was the 2-3. Kind of soured me a little bit after a while because, you know, Raw, of course, got the 3 picks in comparison to SmackDown's 2 just based on the length of the show. So right away, Raw was getting really quickly top-heavy. And I think that was kind of like a problem there for SmackDown, but SmackDown was able to even out once it got past the televised round. So that was like one of the big things I noticed right away. And it was you know, it was a little different, but it was a good type of different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. And I was talking to Riley about this at our place, too. But I mean, when you look.
I'm never involved in these conversations.
When you look at SmackDown's roster, in my opinion, I think this roster is arguably better than what Raw has. I mean, you have a guy like Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton when he comes back, Bray Wyatt, you know, to anchor that you know, main event scene. But then you have guys like The Miz who could eventually be there, American Alpha, two guys that are going to work their tails off to be there, Dolph Ziggler who's been there, ADR, Alberto Del Rio who's been there, Baron Corbin who could eventually be there as a top-level heel. I mean, you have a lot of good I guess a good base on SmackDown when you only have a two-hour show. And like they said, apparently, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, you know, this is the show that the people want. A lot of people want to see these guys do things that they weren't able to do when the roster was all just one big, you know, sorry to put it this way, but one big mess at one point. And when you look at Raw, I mean, yeah, I mean, you get some of the youngsters and things like that, and it's exciting to see a guy like Finn Balor, but I can't honestly point out very many strengths in Raw's roster opposed to SmackDown, unless you're just talking titles.
I think some of the strength is definitely once you get past a New Day, you're looking at Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks, Chris Jericho, Rusev, Owens, Enzo and Cass, and the Club. That's where really that strength is that core group right there. That's a solid mid-card group.
Yeah, and when you're talking about the mid-card, though, as well, like we kind of, you think about that extra hour. I mean, that is an extra hour of television, so you have to keep in mind, I guess, that that's probably, what, two or three matches and maybe a promo segment as well. So
unless they really go ahead and actually change the format of the show.
Well, what would they change the format of the show?
No, it's easy. You keep the 3 hours, right? But instead of doing shorter matches, you can let them stretch out a little bit. You got the cruiserweights actually going to be joining them probably after September. So that's another five, six guys right there. You're going to have a solid tag division. You know, you give them. You don't make it necessarily so much as Cesaro put it in his work shoot promo or whatever it was afterwards. You know, like give these guys time and give these guys the opportunities to really work off their tails. Because, like, you're going to give half the roster 3 hours, basically. Half the roster three yep. hours. Then why not let these guys actually really maximize their time?
Basically, you're saying instead of five-minute matches, they can maybe go, like, 10, 12, 15 kind of thing.
Alex, as a worker, do you actually appreciate having more time?
Oh, absolutely.
Than 5 minutes?
Because I've wrestled five-minute matches, and I've wrestled 30-minute matches. Because it's one thing when you wrestle a five-minute match, especially on a Sunday show, because it's an afternoon, people want to go home because they got stuff to do for Monday. But, like, at the same time, you feel like you have to rush things or you have to literally do nothing. And doing nothing's fine, but then you kind of feel like, oh, wait, how did we get to 5 minutes? Because we were just kind of just talking shit for a second.
Oh, God, we do that in the podcast.
Well, and that's the thing is that, like, you know, like, you lose track of time because obviously you don't have a watch, like, while you're wrestling because...
even a Fitbit?
No, I mean, you maybe, but... But, you know, it's you know, with 5 minutes, like, you really don't have a lot of time. Like, I mean, you can make 5 minutes work if you know, if you have, like...
Are you
like,
trying to get 5 minutes to work right now?
I'm trying. I'm trying to. But, I mean, I feel like when you have more time, that there's less pressure. You can essentially have a little bit more fun because, you know, you're able to have a little more, you know, affordability with the time. You can, you know, work a little bit. You can interact with the crowd a little bit more and everything. And then you're like, oh, hey, perfect. That was 12 minutes. Excellent time. So... Yeah, I think that would make sense to stretch it out, especially. But I know that I don't want to steal your thunder here, but you were kind of talking about how you were worried about some of the roster feeling thin.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking about it, and it gives you more opportunities, but at the same time, does that worry you a little bit? Because when I look at some of these rosters, and I look at, okay, you have these multiple divisions, you have the tag teams, you have the Divas division, especially the Divas division, the women's division now. A little worrisome, I mean, because maybe you have what here? You have maybe six or seven that can actually perform week in and week out, and now they're split up on two different brands, so that might be a question mark there as well. But when you look at just the overall scope of things, I mean, people were already getting pissed off enough when you had all of these guys on one brand working each other the same matchups every single time. So now when you split it in half, now you're dividing that number by two. So at this point, to me, it seems like you're going to be seeing the same feuds over and over again. That's one thing that worried me because, like I said, you look at SmackDown's roster, you got five or six guys that are main eventers right there. And I guess if you're looking at the top of the card, I mean, are these guys going to be interchangeably working each other over the following months? Because I can't see a guy like Zack Ryder, Apollo Crews right now, anybody in Breezango, maybe even ADR or Dolph at this point, Baron Corbin even competing for that world title that, you know, whatever SmackDown, I guess, is you know, going to do moving forward for the top of the brand.
We don't necessarily know right now if those, like, the top titles are going to be exclusive.
Yeah.
We don't. We really don't at this point in time. Like, it could be one of those things where Ambrose loses the belt.
Yep.
And he loses to either Reigns or, you know, Rollins on Sunday. And that belt goes over to Raw. You know, but is it going to be one of those things where, like, your top champions are going to actually travel? Because if you're looking at it, where it was, you know, Charlotte being on Raw with, like, five divas over there. And then you look at, you got five divas over on SmackDown. Well, if you're going to have one divas title or women's title, I should probably be starting saying right
now.
Yeah,
it's tough.
But, yeah, go figure. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Same with the tag titles. You know, because you're going to have a tag division without champions. You know, so it almost makes sense to have those traveling champions again.
It does, because then that also allows you to do what we kind of just talked about, where it's you can still have those fresh matchups. Because that's what I think the one thing that I think bothers me the most is, because how many times 2 years ago I think we saw Randy Orton and Sheamus face off. Like, seriously, those guys must have wrestled 50 times throughout a 48, you know, whatever, 42.
Well, same with, like,
period.
Reigns and Wyatt. Like, they always seem to, like, go into each other every
time. So now you
then.
Cut the rosters in half, and now that's something you don't want to see. And I think if you have if you have traveling champions, you know, your world champion can change every couple of months. Your women's champion can change every couple of months. Your tag champion can change. So you get those fresh matchups where guys are facing off. And like they alluded to, though, I don't know if you watched the network special, but they alluded to the fact that, yes, so they have the four pay-per-views a year that'll be both brands, but otherwise it's separate brands. So we're not going to be seeing every month Raw versus SmackDown stuff like we're going to be seeing at Battleground.
Yeah.
And so, the only reason why we're going to see it at Battleground is because it did the draft right before.
It just happened.
That's just the way, you know? So the big four, of course, are going to be what? SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania, right?
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Like back in the day.
So who were you guys surprised about the NXT call-ups? Well, we knew going in there was going to be six of them. But were these, like, the six that you were actually thinking they were going to be?
I can't say I wasn't. You take this one first, Riley.
I don't know. Like, I think some of them were surprising because, like, I mean, just a few weeks ago we just had this discussion after TakeOver The End about, you know, who are the guys that are going to get called up? Are they going to get called up anytime soon? Finn Balor, I think, was, like, one of the only people that we were like, yeah, that guy's going to get called up, you know, relatively soon. I think it was a surprise that, like, Alexa Bliss got called up, for example. Nia Jax, American Alpha, I think that was kind of, you know, that was going to happen one way or another. I think there were a lot of surprises on it. I think not so because they weren't ready. I think it's just that, you know, you're so used to them being on NXT that you're like, please don't get called up because I enjoy watching on NXT too much. And then it's like, so like Alexa Bliss, for example, is one of those people that I thought, you know, hey, they're going to call up Bayley. They're going to call up, you know, some of the other top divas. Or top women, excuse me. And then as I thought, honestly, Alexa Bliss was going to kind of carry the essentially the women's roster in NXT, kind of like how Bayley was doing once the three horsewomen got brought up. So that's what I thought her role was going to be, is that Bayley was kind of molding Alexa Bliss to take that role when she left. So when she got called up, I was surprised by that. Finn Balor, again, I wasn't surprised by. But, yeah, like, Nia Jax, that's great for her to get called up. I think that was only a matter of time. Same with American Alpha. I think it was a mix of surprise and also just not surprise. But, yeah.
When I look at it, I think it's those were some great – I think those are the great picks.
Yeah.
You know, you've
had
people that argue about it. But Finn Balor was great because Corey Graves made a fantastic point on the live stream thing that they kind of did on the network because we don't have cable at home. But Corey Graves made a great point that Finn Balor is, in his opinion, has to be already one of the top merch-selling guys in the company. So you bring that guy up to the main roster, obviously a no-brainer. You do the brand split. This guy is now going to sell a ton of merch. And he almost offsets John Cena now when you think about merch sellers because this guy might be an anchor over on Raw as a merch seller and that kind of cool upcoming new star.
Yep.
When you look at Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, I think both are ready to come up. You know, Nia Jax is just that behemoth of a woman that can take anybody down. Alexa Bliss has the character and the charisma for the main roster. And when you're splitting up the brands – like we were just talking about, you need to bring up those women's wrestlers to try to fill out those rosters on both brands.
Yep.
Bayley, you know, it's whatever. You know, she could have gotten called up, but she didn't, and that's just how it works. You know, like right now we were talking about it, but when you take out Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss, now you're left with Asuka, Bayley.
And Carmella got called up as well.
Carmella got called up, so now you're left.
Carmella was another person I was surprised by.
Same with Eva Marie.
So the thing that's nice about having Bayley and Asuka still there is a lot of people are spectacle that Bayley's coming to Battleground. I don't know. I don't know how they can do that.
They're saying Nikki Bella.
I think Nikki Bella would make a lot more sense. But Bayley,
especially too, they were just talking about that her doctor's cleared her, right?
So Nikki Bella or Bayley makes a lot of sense to stay down there because her and Asuka can stay there, work together to kind of remold and resculpt that roster. Because if you take Bayley out at this juncture, your women's division in NXT is screwed because you're starting from scratch. And then when you look at a guy like Mojo Rawley, I mean, I love this pick. I mean, what he's basically without Zack Ryder in NXT, he fades into oblivion. But at the same time, I feel like Mojo Rawley has the stuff right now to be on WWE television. I mean, he's a big brute. He's a former football player. He can come up, tag team with Zack Ryder, be that cool, get hype thing that's going to get over on the main roster. And
well, did they end up on separate rosters?
Nope, they're both on SmackDown.
So the Hype Bros are together once again on SmackDown, a great tag team in NXT that I think will translate well. And then when you talk about American Alpha, the whole thing about the NXT tag division is I think you could have drafted any of one of the top tag teams. You could have drafted Ciampa and Gargano. You could have drafted the Revival. You could have drafted American Alpha. Mm-hmm. All of those teams, in my opinion, were ready to go up, and it happened to be American Alpha, which is totally fine because I think they'll bring that technicality and something different to the SmackDown roster that you're not going to get to see. That might be something that you're not going to be able to see on Raw because the way that they put matches together. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and I think kind of like what you're saying with Bayley and Asuka is that if you take them out, you're essentially taking away like two giant pillars of women's wrestling in NXT, and you need those people to mold the new people because you have Peyton Royce. That's the only really notable.
We got Tessa Blanchard working down.
Tessa Blanchard's coming. Yep. Been on NXT for a couple times now. They have a couple of the other people that listed in the women's battle royal that they had to determine that number contender. Mm-hmm. But like you have a lot of essentially no names that essentially get the occasional NXT match. You're starting to see a little bit of them here and there, especially on the house shows. We got to see of them at that Chicago show, but you essentially get to establish them. They get some time in the spotlight, and then essentially once they're primed, ready to go, then Bayley and Asuka can get called up potentially.
Remember, that's kind of like the way it was too when NXT really kind of got its start. Was there wasn't necessarily a women's division,
right?
Like
Natalya
actually went down there, worked with Paige and a few others, and then they were able to blossom that division based on who they had and how people came up and stuff like that. I think it's gonna be really good. It's always gonna be fun to see how these kind of really work out. Like the Lucha Dragons getting split up. I thought it was kind of weird, though, that Kalisto's going to be on SmackDown instead of Raw. He seems like a natural fit.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised that they got split in the first place because I thought that they were...
I'm not. Sin Cara can take care of himself. You hear he got in a fight with Simon Gotch backstage?
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, too, that could almost be part of the reason they got split.
He didn't botch that fight.
He didn't.
Yeah, but I mean, that, at the same time, that could be almost partly why they split them up. It's just like, all right, well, we're probably going to be getting rid of you one way or another because... that stuff's not cool to be doing.
It's interesting, and I know that it said WWE was working on this until the last second, but sometimes, honestly, I like to think of this as kayfabe because sometimes I actually wonder if they were like, oh, they got the Cruiserweight belt? We're taking Kalisto. Them.
Yeah. You think Daniel Bryan actually said that?
No, probably not. Nope. But I like to think so because sometimes... Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's probably like, oh, they got the Cruiserweight belt? Well, what if we took Kalisto? Just like as a thought, it's like, I like that.
I like that. Well,
you can trade him later.
Yeah, we'll trade him
for like Cesaro or something.
Yeah, we'll trade him for a 2017 pick because that's a real thing.
Like a third rounder?
It could be. They might start doing NXT drafts every year. We don't know.
Well, probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, if they want to go more of that sportsy route. All right, guys, so that was our draft talk. We're going to keep on rolling because we want to talk about the CWC a little bit.
Yep.
We talked a lot about it last week. This week we don't have as much time, but we can run down the matches pretty quick. And, guys, another pretty successful week. But I do have some differing opinions on some matches. But before I get mine out, I want to hear what you guys thought.
All right, cool. So we're going to start things off. It was Tajiri taking on Damian Slater from Australia. First time seeing Slater. Slater looked impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Tajiri, I think he was the right guy to win this matchup because of where they're probably going to go in that second round matchup. It looked like he didn't lose a step at all.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, what do they say on commentary that he's 46?
Yeah,
at this
that's
point,
crazy to me.
And he's 46 and he's still moving around like he was back on Raw in 2003,
1998 in ECW.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, granted, like his style's, you know, not exactly like flippy, so he's doing a lot of like technical stuff, some submission, just a lot of, you know, nasty kicks. So it's not like he has to be, you know, a spry chicken or a spring chicken rather to be doing all that stuff. But still, like, to see a guy that's 46, didn't look like he aged a day, which was fantastic. You know, it was a great, you know, showing for Damon Slater because he got to work, you know, a guy that's considered, you know, could be considered a legend of the WWE, you know, getting that opportunity to wrestle him. Yeah, like you said, it was a great showing for Slater because, you know, he essentially came in as a nobody. Mm-hmm. And you got to see that he can go. Like, he, you know, it wasn't all talk that he was just this guy that, you know, was always put up against as the underdog, and he always comes up. But obviously he didn't come up this time. But still,
his stock's going to go through the roof. He's going to get a lot more bookings after this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that that ending sequence where Tadir just killed him with some of those kicks were just nasty. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it was a good opening contest because a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people, myself, I was wondering, you know, how's Tadir going to do? We haven't seen him in a long time. We haven't seen him essentially in over 10 years. And he was good. Like, he hadn't lost a beat. And that, for me, that was great.
Yeah, Tajiri was fantastic. Damian Slater, a guy that they were kind of telling the backstory of, paid his way to work at, mm-hmm. You know, work in WWE for that tryout. Still works in Australia, but man, did he put on a show. I believe he's in his late 20s, so hopefully this opens the door for him to try to maybe get back into WWE and get another
mm-hmm.
tryout.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess,
definitely,
you know,
true.
Technically this is probably more or less his tryout to see if he
Well, if it was his tryout, I think he did very, very well. All right, cool. Going on to the next matchup, it was Mustafa Ali taking on Lince Dorado. This was actually a very pleasant surprise to see two Midwest guys paired up when we saw the brackets, and it didn't disappoint.
This was honestly I was telling Nick this. This was probably my favorite match of the entire show.
That's saying something, man.
You got to see a lot of the stereotypical cruiserweight stuff because they were doing a lot of, you know, high spots. They were flipping around and everything like that. But at the same time, they were still able to work. They were still able to show a basically highlight what the Midwest can show because Mustafa Ali is the champion of freelance wrestling. Mm-hmm. Lince, you know, he's from Puerto Rico. He works in the Florida region primarily, I believe. But he has come up to the Midwest for, you know, plenty of times. He's wrestled in Dreamwave. He's wrestled, I can't remember where else, but I know he's wrestled in Illinois primarily. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this was a good match that you could have essentially seen in the Illinois area, or at least the Midwest area, as a broad scope. But yeah, this was a solid match between two great guys. So I was really happy with the end result of this match. Like, it, I would have been happy either way who would have won.
Yeah,
you know, I almost wanted to give the win to actually Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that close. I thought he had a superb outing, and
honestly,
he really worked his ass off.
Like, I was kind of expecting that same thing with Ari Daivari, that mm-hmm. it's like, all right, well, Lince is probably going to get the win. Like, it's just probably how it's going to go. But at the same time, there were a lot of times that match I was like, maybe they're going to give the win to Ali. Like, it was actually kind of – it made you think a little bit. It's like, oh, maybe I don't know everything. You know, maybe there's some stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, by the way, first time seeing Ali, like, wrestle in an actual event, and makes me actually kind of want to watch the freelance live stream when they do those and everything now. But – man, I did not know that people could do those inverted 450 splashes. Those were insane. That, yeah. Like, he was able to, you know, he didn't connect with any, obviously, but at the same time, the fact that he was able to move in that motion and not, like, kill himself in the corner, like, that was impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, you just push yourself out.
Yep.
Well, still, like, you know, how do you push away and still flip and still land on your target, like, without, like, going too far?
That's why he was in the CWC. Next matchup, we had TJ Perkins taking on DeMack, and I'll tell you guys right now, I was talking to Ryan about this. I liked Ali and Dorado a lot, but I think this is my match of the night. Mm-hmm. I love TJ Perkins so much, dude. He's like the Johnny Manziel of wrestling. It's
makes
great.
Everything look easy.
Makes everything look easy. I loved watching him in the ring. DeMack, the same goes for that guy. I hated that one of these two had to lose, but mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to TJ Perkins, and I think this guy is. I think this guy should be signed because, man, does he have both these guys have a crazy amount of charisma.
Yep.
They're getting that crowd to eat out of the palm of their hands, and just the athleticism that they kind of showed off.
Those guys are lightning quick. You just throw them around, and all of a sudden they were just, you know, using the momentum to get right back in the ring. Or, you know, that was a crazy flip that DeMack did to the outside of the ring. Like, it was good to see some of the big moves like that, especially in the Cruiserweight Classic. It was, like you said, like it was a shame that one of them had to lose because they're both super charismatic. It was kind of cool because, I mean, we saw, you know, that we saw in the bracketology that he was the DeMac was basically the Michael Jackson of professional wrestling, and he actually got to see that. He actually had the glitter, hand glove, and he almost had like the Thriller red jacket and everything. So he got to see the moonwalk. And it was cool because, I mean, personally, as somebody that's been to Germany that tried to find German wrestling, I couldn't find it. It was really hard to find, at least for me. But I mean, all you really knew is that there was WXW in Germany, and Alex Wright was running it, and that's it. Other than that, I didn't know that there was a ton of German wrestlers, and it was cool to see another product from Germany in the area and everything. So that was cool.
It was a really, really solid match. And, of course, it changed up the pace a little bit. You saw more ground-based submission with Perkins. You got to see the quickness on those nip-ups. That first one he did was just that was great.
Yeah. Is that the first submission of the series so far?
No, I don't think so. I thought there was one last week, but I could be wrong.
I'm trying to think. I think that's the first tap out so far. I think there's been submissions, but I think –
I don't think it's that big of a deal, man.
It's not. I'm just saying.
You don't burn your brain.
Well, I'm not going to burn my.
I saw the light bulbs.
The light bulbs were clicking, but I was trying to think about it. But I mean, it was different just because of the fact that, you know, a lot of cruiserweight matches you don't see end in submission. You usually see, you know, a high flying move, you know, a moonsault that gets a three count. Whereas this was just a submission where they weren't essentially cruiserweights; they were just wrestlers, and submission was how to get the win.
All right. Well, you guys had a different match tonight than I did. I really liked the Kenneth Johnson Kurosawa match. I really did. And the reason why I liked it was you look at it on paper and with the psychology in the match, Tozawa basically took Johnson for granted the whole time. And Johnson.
It was great storytelling.
It was great storytelling. Johnson hung with him, like from step for step for step. And it wasn't until towards the end where Tozawa was like, man, if I screw up here, I'm going to lose this matchup. Yep. And to see it end on a well-executed German suplex with a bridge, that was picture-perfect, especially after he hit that really snap-release one before that.
That snap one was awesome.
Ooh, that thing was cringeworthy, but that was a very solid match. I really liked that matchup. It was one of those things where Kenneth Johnson, like a lot of people probably will say that he didn't really fit the mold of what a lot of these guys were. But he had a great backstory. He had to overcome that speech impediment living in Detroit. Detroit is actually a very terrible town if you guys have ever been there or ever tried to root for a Detroit team besides the Red Wings. He's a great story. He's going to go back to Detroit. He's going to feel like $1 million because of the performance he put on. Because Tozawa is arguably one of the top 10 wrestlers in Japan right now.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot because there's so many good talents there. He's arguably a top 10 guy, and he hung with him. Bell to bell.
Like they said, this Tozawa, aside from, I'd say, Ibushi, might be the top dude in this tournament. I mean, he might be...
Small dude, too. He's like 150 pounds.
Yeah, but he might be number two in this tournament to keep an eye on as far as the winner. I will tell you that they definitely were selling that. You know, Kenneth Johnson, his ability to, you know, trying to make a name for himself and hang with a guy, the ability of Tozawa, really, they told the story very well in the ring and definitely commentary helped sell that quite a bit as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking about the story of it, because, like, they had Kenneth Johnson's, you know, introduction pack, and they were talking about how, you know, he's always been a fighter. You know, he's, you know, anytime he's roughhousing with his older brother, like, he would always still, like, he knew how to be a fighter because, you know, he knew how to always keep getting up, you know, despite the fact that his brother would try to beat him down. And I thought it was kind of cool because, you know, like you were saying, like, Tozawa was the guy that was going to take Kenneth Johnson for granted by just putting the boots to him. But then at the same time, Kenneth Johnson kept getting up because it really showed that story that, yeah, this is probably a kid that got picked on a lot as, you know, as a kid, but he's learned how to keep fighting and keep getting up and everything. And it was interesting too, because, you know, I know how Tyler, you were talking about Tozawa after the bracketology recap. So it was cool to watch a guy like that as well. Like, that dude was a beast. Mm-hmm. Like, he was tiny, but he, like, just how he presented himself. He presented himself like he was a 300-plus dude that was just a monster. Yeah. Like, you know, they're training forearms, and he's just yelling, you know, just circling around the ring yelling because he's getting all pissed.
Well, the crowd was yelling with him, too. I thought the coolest thing, too, Kenneth Johnson was – the part where if you were looking for a nugget of knowledge in it when you were like, okay, these guys are going to go neck and neck, was when they dropped the little nugget of where he actually got trained down in Dallas. It was with Funaki.
Yeah.
So he got used to that strong style, right. Japanese style right away. So that was
That
was very impressive.
He took the bus to go to work, and then he walked in the other side of town to go train with Funaki.
Yeah. Great story. All right, cool. So next week, of course, is going to be week three of the CWC. We're going to see Jack Gallagher in action against Fabian Archer. Of course, Drew Gulak will be taking on one of the Bollywood boys. Zack Sabre Jr. is making his debut on WWE TV as he takes on Tyson Dukes. And you're going to see Raul Mendoza taking on Brian Kendrick.
I think it would be a good solid. I granted, like all, so far, every episode has been solid, but I think that's going to be another solid episode. It'd be great to see Brian Kendrick in a WWE ring again. I've been hearing a lot of good things about Drew Gulak, and it'd be interesting to see how the Bollywood boys work and everything, because seeing their introduction pack in the bracketology, that was pretty interesting. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
You know what the worst part, though, is? Of course, they take these in advance.
Yep.
Make sure you just don't go to the Wikipedia page. I'm just going to tell you
that. Yeah, they ruin that for you,
they
don't
really
they?
Do ruin that.
I mean, don't go on the internet, I guess, if you're looking for, you know, anything with the CWC other than just go with the network, because that's probably the network at this point is the only place that won't spoil the Cruiserweight Classic for you. I mean, like, even if you go on Facebook, like, you know, there's already stuff about, like, Cedric Alexander and Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, I saw that, and it's like, I don't want to look at that yet, it's kind of thing. So I'm just going to keep scrolling. So.
Yeah. Alrighty. So that's it for our national talk. We've got our spotlight in the squared circle coming up next. So we will be right back with some more Grapple Talk.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragner, Jesse Von Ruden, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Breaking. when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. And as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, this is Raging Nathan Gust. You are listening to Grapple Talk, where they are raging 25-8.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
We're up here at the UPW in Gladstone, Michigan. Jesse Von Rudin here, and someone made a surprise return tonight, and that was Jonathan Smash. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I happen to be up in Norway for my semi-pro team's football game, and I thought, oh, well, the dates, you know, kind of align a little bit, and it was just an hour away, so I was like, hey, what the hell? I'll just get in the car and drive an hour and see what we're doing. So,
the question is, though, did you guys win today?
No, we didn't. No, we did not. The UP Arctic Blast beat us 6-2. Yeah, it was a very defensive juggernaut game. So
Must have been one of those games that actually where you excelled in too. Besides, you know, the other team scoring 6 points.
Yeah. Our quarterback reminded me of Jay Cutler, threw like 4 picks. So
that's terrible.
Yeah, it was. If I had hair on my head, it'd be gone by now. So
that's true. But you did have a serious situation actually took you out of commission for a while, and that was a neck injury.
Yes.
What, second match back now? How's the neck doing?
It was actually my first match back. Second time in a ring in 6 months. I held a secret training session with Nathan Gust.
Okay.
And we rolled around a little bit, and he showed me the ropes like I was a newbie. And it felt good. I enjoyed myself. I felt good. I've been working out every now and again, so uh-huh. I I felt great, and I thought, hey, it's the perfect time to do it.
So what was, like, the one thing you had to really adapt to coming back from a neck injury? Was it cardio that shot?
Yeah, my speed. I was depressed for a while. I mean, it took a toll on me because I was wearing a brace, and I couldn't do anything for a while, so I was sitting down. And then the brace finally came off, and I'm just like, well, I couldn't work out until March. I was not able to go to the gym, so I'm just sitting around doing nothing, you know, doing the typical, hey, I'm depressed, so I'm going to eat. I eat a lot, so, I mean, that's all I did. And then finally I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, you can get back into the gym. And I was just a hound. So I wound up dropping – I was walking around at about 210. Now I'm walking – I'm walking around now at about 190. So I'm getting in better shape. It's one step at a time, so I'm happy with the way it's going.
Cool. So return match tonight. You wrestled Callum Brooks. He's a guy you know very well.
Yes.
It almost looked like there was a little bit of ring rust, but
there was definitely some ring rust. But I mean, once I got in that mode of hey, you're back doing this now. Mm-hmm. You know, the lights are on. Everyone's watching you. So once I got the jitters out, I was definitely nervous. I'm not gonna say I wasn't, but I definitely was. I mean, waiting on the other side of the curtain, my heart was beating a million miles a minute. But once I got in front of everybody, everything just faded away, and then it was time to go to work. So, you know, if you give me some time, it'll clean itself up, no problem.
Now I gotta ask, you know, with the neck injury and stuff like that, you took a couple really nasty looking DDTs. Still kind of sore.
It's gonna be sore. It's gonna be tender. But I mean, I've rehabbed enough to where I know that I'm not seriously hurt anymore. I mean, something like that could seriously injure me, but when I was amateur wrestling, one thing they taught us was neck bridges.
Yeah.
And I had a 17 and a half inch neck in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I did a lot of those to get my strength back, so my neck is feeling good. And those DDTs did hurt quite a bit, but it's not going to sideline me again, so I'm happy with the way it went.
That's good to know, man. That's good to know. So what's coming up next for Jonathan Smash?
I'm still tending to my football team. That's still priority number one. Once that season is over in mid-July, then who knows? I mean, Jonathan Smash could end up back in a ring, you know, pretty quick. July 23rd is our last game, and I could end up in a ring maybe the week after. I don't know. But right now it's tend to my football team, and then whatever wrestling comes after that, then we'll see what happens.
Well, with the landscape really changing in the state, you've seen like ACW really popping up, doing a lot of good things. Same with Wisconsin Pro Wrestling, UPW. What's going to be your main focus when you actually get a chance to get back in the ring?
I would love to come back and make a name for myself in ACW and, of course, WPW because they're so close. And I would love to finally, you know, I guess you could say grab that brass ring here up in the UP because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, if there's a to-do list, that's the three. So,
gotcha. So you got your own roads list.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So you and me, we're both nerds. So I got to really know thoughts and opinions on Batman versus Superman.
A lot of people didn't like the movie. I enjoy the darker versions of movies. This is a Frank Miller film. The Dark Knight Returns, Part 1 and 2, is kind of what this movie's based on.
Okay.
And I think Ben Affleck as Batman was absolutely tremendous. He did a great job. By far the most physical in stature Batman that they've had. Michael Keaton was a good Batman. I didn't like Val Kilmer, George Clooney. And Christian Bale got annoying with his voice all the time. So as soon as he started doing it by himself, I got annoyed with it. But I think Ben Affleck was really good as Batman. If you're not into the darker stories, you might not like it. But I think what's coming down the road with the Justice League and everything else is going to be awesome. Plus, one thing that I'm so stoked for is the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
That comes out July 25th. I actually got tickets at the movie theater.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. They're actually doing a small run in the theater. They haven't done that with an animated movie since, what, Mask of the Phantasm?
Yep. I went to see that when I was 4 years old. This first movie I ever saw. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yep, my dad took me. But that I got tickets for that Friday morning, and I'll be sitting right in the middle. So I'm excited for it.
All right, cool. Well, Jonathan Smash, good talking to you again, bud.
Yep.
Take care, man.
Thank you. I can't wait to be on again.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, pro wrestling, since 1997.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire,
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews of some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5. Anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
This is Colin Brooks. I have the heart of a lion, and you are listening to Grapple Talk.
Oh, Jesse had a good talk with Smash. It's always cool to be able to, I guess, sit down with him and kind of just learn his backstory a little bit.
Oh, definitely. And he almost made me want to watch Batman versus Superman. Like, I'm on the fence about this one, guys.
So you're, like, almost, like, willing to not. You, like, are just taking a stand against
it. I know. I wasn't really planning on watching it. I was going to watch it when it was at the Riv because, you know, of course I can have an alcoholic beverage. Yeah, but so now Smash basically kind of almost talked me into watching it. Sans alcohol.
Well, there you go. Well, thank
sans
you.
Sans alcohol.
Thank you, Johnny Smash, for that. Mm-hmm. That is our Spotlight in the Squared Circle. If you want, you know, maybe there's somebody that you want to request that we talk to, hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Also, can hit up the Facebook page to see the upcoming shows this weekend. Guys, moving along, it's time for Wrestler's Perspective. And I got nothing this week. You got something, Jesse?
I got one. All right, cool.
Fantastic.
All right, hey, AC Riley, I got to ask you a question. If you had to cut weight to be in the CWC, could you do it?
If I had to cut weight to be in the CWC?
What do you weigh right now? Are you like, weird about that, or can you actually tell
us?
No,
I'm a 240, 245.
So you had to cut, what is that? Like,
I would have to cut
40 pounds?
I'd
have to cut 40 pounds.
40 pounds?
I think if I had to cut 40 pounds and I had all the time in the world, you know, to be at the performance center and, you know, be able to work out there and, you know, watch what I was eating opposed to, you know, trying to cut weight while.
Yeah, 2 months.
Yeah, if I had 2 months to cut weight and that's all I had to worry about and it wasn't like, oh, I got to go to my job and I got to do this and I got to deal with this, all that shit. Like, if I had just 2 months in the performance center.
You like McDonald's a lot, man.
I do like McDonald's. Especially for the I've been cutting down on that though, just because.
Have you been going smaller sizes?
Mainly it's just I only go to McDonald's when we're on the road. Like, I mean, there's sometimes that I'll just go, like, if it's just been a long day and stuff like that, and it's like I don't really feel like cooking or microwaving rather. But I think if I was told, like, if you want to be in here, you have to cut weight, then I think I would at least do what I could to cut weight and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at, like, Alejandro Saez. You know, he had to cut 30 pounds and everything like that. And I'm sure, like, it was tough for him, but I think because he had that motivation that you have to cut or you're going to be removed from the Classic, I think because of that, like, there was that motivation too. So I think given that, I would do everything I could to cut 40 pounds, you know, and hopefully I would be able to do that. So to answer the question, I don't know if I could, but I would do everything I could to cut the 40
So pounds. What if me and Nick decided to do our own CWC? Because I think you and me are both under 250.
Yeah, we are.
Or actually, 205, pardon me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if we were going to have our own CWC, we needed, like, you know, another body.
Because
we'll probably call up Aaron Sacrifice because he weighs a buck 25.
Maybe a buck.
A buck?
A buck.
In just loose
one
change?
Buck. Yep.
In loose
buck
change.
Buck 05 sopping wet.
Don't. Sopping?
Don't.
Sopping?
Don't.
That's gross.
Stop. Don't. Stop.
That's a gross sopping wet.
Right, let's, let's stop talking about that because I'm about to throw up. Jesse, we got a tape study this week?
Yeah, let's go to last year, AWA. Actually, it was AAW. Pardon me.
All right.
Pentagon Jr. versus Chris Hero.
Fantastic.
Yep. Good stuff.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon Jr. liking his stuff out in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, and if
Hero.
You guys haven't had a chance yet, the Austin podcast with Ricochet,
yeah,
it's really good. Of course, the G1's already started up for New Japan. They also have their Super J Cup just started up as well, so a lot of good wrestling going on right now in Japan as well. Plus, we got Battleground this weekend.
That's right, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just bored.
Tired?
No, just kidding. Yeah, actually, I'm tired. It's almost time
so
for
who
bed.
Are you going to draft?
I don't know. So there's this guy to San Diego.
Yeah.
His name's Hunter Henry. He's a tight. Oh, there he fell.
Yeah.
It's that easy, folks. Well, thanks for joining us here on Grapple Talk.
Really
this
quick.
Week.
I got closing comments.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about it on the road trip story and everything, but I just want to say I'm really proud of these two upstarts, Sierra and Garrison Creed. They put on a hell of a weekend for wrestling. Sierra had the two matches with Thunder Rosa. I get to watch the live stream for her, the second match of Chicago Style Wrestling and everything. Getting to see Garrison Creed come into his own and everything. Yeah, I'm just really excited to see where their futures are. You know, it just where they have been in these past couple months, essentially, because Sierra, I believe, she's breaking into her first year at this point. And Garrison, like I said, it's his 11th match. So if you're listening, do yourself a favor. Follow Garrison Creed on the Facebook page. Sierra has a Facebook page and also a Twitter follower as well, just so you can, you know, keep track of where these guys and gals are going to be going because, you know, there's some great product, you know, and it's a really good pat in the back also to BCW for, you know, how they've been training Sierra and how she's progressed, and then obviously to the Dojo Pain of how they trained Garrison Creed. So, you know, two great schools, and they're, you know, case in point, they got two great, you know, upstarts coming up and really make it a great name for their schools and for Midwest Independent Wrestling.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good plug there, bud.
Thanks.
Wow.
All right, GrappleTalk.com.
Are you getting money underneath the table from any of these training schools?
No. No money under the table.
Are you trying to get money under the table?
No, I'm not trying to. I'm just, you know, speaking the truth because, I mean, you know, it's one thing if I was, you know, faking that
generosity.
What's that word? That
all right, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, if you're looking for the word, you're trying to fake it. So,
well, it'd be one thing if I was just faking it, but I mean, just saying what they wanted me to say. But that's not the case. Like, Frank and Matt didn't tell me, hey, can you talk about Sierra for us on the Grapple Talk? And same with Shane Hills. And
well, we
same,
know.
Yeah,
we're just yanking your chain.
Well, I know, but I have to defend myself because that's how I am. But I mean, yeah, just Dojo Pain and, you know, the BCW Thumper's Den. Great schools, case in point, Sierra and Garrison Creed doing a great job for, you know, they're essentially their first year.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us this week on Grapple Talk. What's everybody having for dinner tonight?
I don't know yet. You guys want to get something to eat?
Nope.
Dinner is subject to change.
What?
I don't
Come
know.
On.
I'm on a diet.
You're on a diet?
How is that going, by the way?
Turkey bacon tonight.
He's on the if you didn't know, he's on the 21-day fix. So
21-day fix.
It's I get to see it a lot on the paid programming when I'm at work. So not only is it, you know, the beach body workout and everything like that, but it's also the portion controls.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah. So yeah. You got the little Tupperwares of what you can have and everything. So, you know, for you, like, this is your commentator's corner. So, like, how's that been going? Because, I mean, obviously, that's, you know, I think that's the biggest issue everybody usually goes into, and obviously that's the plug for 21 Day Fix, is it's portion control.
Are you getting
control.
Money underneath the table?
I am not getting money from anybody, but it's
I'm going to defend myself here. I will say that I will never willingly go out and spend money on a diet or workout fix program. Zari, my new fiance, went out and got it, surprised me when it came in the mail and was like, will you do this with me? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
I mean,
because it's nice.
I'm
already spending the rest of my life with you. I might as well do it for another 21 days.
Besides P90X, I was willing to spend money on that.
Yeah. I mean, but good on you, though, because, like, Zari wanted to do this to better herself, and you were like, yeah, I'll be your workout buddy. You know, I'll help support you through that.
So pretty much every single day diet plan, I know we're kind of running along. Diet plan is this. You wake up in the morning, 2 hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, that's not bad.
2 hard-boiled eggs, a piece of toast without butter on it, and an apple. So pretty not a bad breakfast,
that's
actually.
That's not bad. Yeah.
You have a snack shortly after that, which is a protein shake.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a fast break bar.
No, I wish.
Yeah.
For lunch, you have a small salad with chicken breast cut on top, so not bad either.
Anything in the salad besides lettuce and chicken breast?
I put croutons on there, a couple carbs there.
Is that some of the toast that you had earlier in the day?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I also put on some Olive Garden Italian dressing there. You're supposed to use better dressing, but man, this is some good dressing. I'm not turning this down.
Yeah.
Later on in the day, you're supposed to have a snack, vegetable snack. I've been having carrots. And then for dinner, you kind of get to splooge every once in a while. So like last night, we had shredded pork tacos.
Oh, wow.
So, but it's like it's all about portion size. So, you know, you get to eat all this stuff, but you can only have 2 small pork tacos. You can't have like 5 massive ones like I used to have. Or when you have chicken breast for dinner, you have to have an exact amount of rice and exact amount of vegetables. Like, you can't just be like, I want 3 chicken breasts and only 1 piece of broccoli.
It's they call like, that no. the Martian
diet.
Is
that what that's called?
Yeah, 3 so, chicken breasts.
Yep. So has any of that part of that been like tough to transition to from?
Yes.
So what's
you have an idea how bad I want to stop at Taco Bell on the way home when I get done with work?
Well, I imagine
it's like every day.
But I mean, like, as far as like you're portioning what you're going to be eating opposed to just going to a fast food. Like,
I'm hungry a lot.
Like because I mean, even before this, you guys would like cook at home. Yeah. So like, has there been any part that like essentially, you know, cooking at home? Has there been like, oh, that's kind of weird that we just used to cook this and now we can only have this?
Yeah, it is weird because you feel like you save a lot more food, and at the same time, you aren't eating until you feel like you want to kill yourself. Because I used to be like that. If I had food on the table, I would just keep eating and keep eating and keep eating. And so now it's a little bit different. I will say that I've been on the program for just a little over almost 2 weeks now, but I have lost like 8 pounds.
In 14 days.
It's
pretty good.
Yeah, so it's working. It's actually working pretty good. So, yeah, I guess a plug for 21 Day Fix. I told Zari this.
Are you getting money under the table?
I'm not. I'll tell Zari this. I, again, don't really trust workout programs, but with how crappy we were eating and how little exercise we were doing, something was bound to happen, just eating better and actually moving around at some point.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, that's one of the things they always actually talk about when you're starting any diet. It's just portion control.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to sit here and preach for that. If you're looking to lose weight and you're listening, I think you can go out and do it yourself. But yeah. Whatever.
I mean, there's no wrong way to essentially lose diet and get healthy and everything, because there's your 21 day fixes, there's your P90Xs, there's just normal diet and exercise. Like,
well,
there's,
I mean, binge and purge is a pretty bad
There's that too, but I mean, like, that's the thing, like
cigarettes and whiskey diet.
I don't know that one really effectively works, but I mean, like, there's always like certain ways.
Keith Richards, man, the dude's skinny as hell.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's always certain ways to like lose diet and exercise. Like, there's always like some nutritionist and some person with a doctorate in that kind of education is like, oh, this is how I figured out how to lose all this weight and be healthy and stuff like that. And it's not like anybody is contradicting, like, oh, this guy is totally wrong.
Except for that Atkins piece of shit.
Yeah, that guy's
fuck
an
him.
Asshole. But that's the thing. So I mean, it's been an interesting progression. Obviously, it's worked out for you because you lost 8 pounds. So I mean, congrats.
Are you going on the 21 day diet?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Probably it's not. Tough, man.
Yeah, like
no fast food and no like frozen pizzas, dude. Like it's tough.
I'm
going to take you up on this challenge because I have to pay double rent here in about a week.
What challenge?
The 21 day challenge.
What do you mean you're going to take me up on it?
Dude, man, I'm going to go portion control. I'm just going to eat just like 2 eggs a day and it's like some.
Is it portion control like just because
it's called
like,
broke as fuck diet?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean,
at least like you're rationalizing it, and not just I'm broke and I can't eat. Whereas it's like, well, I can't really eat because I'm portion controlling.
So any sponsors actually listen to podcasts? I do accept money underneath the table.
There you go.
For just 7 days.
Yeah.
That Ring of Honor hat's going to have a couple more stitches to it. Just Beach
Pepsi.
Body and.
Yeah, Pepsi.
Wait, not Pepsi, because if he's doing the 21-day fix, he can't have soda, right?
Well, Pepsi's
no, you can have soda.
I could have, like,
but
Pepsi
you just
water.
Choose not to.
Yeah, I haven't drank a soda, coffee, or an energy drink in, like, 3.5 weeks.
How are you alive?
I thought you had soda at the Secret Life of Pets movie.
I did not have soda at the
Peacock. Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Because I remember before you left, you were just like, I haven't had soda in like 2 weeks. I'm having a fucking soda.
No, I didn't actually have one. I did have popcorn, though. So I broke the 21-day fix at that
but
time.
But you only had two kernels.
Only had two. No, I had actually like a lot
what's,
of popcorn.
What's the chick's name that's in charge of it?
Popcorn?
No, not in charge
Sally
of popcorn.
Sally Popcorn.
Autumn. Her name's Autumn.
She's going to kick your ass
she is a bitch.
A dietitian's name is Autumn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get a knock on the door, and it's like, where's Nick? It's like, he's over
shaker
there.
Shake her and leaves come off.
You had popcorn, you son of a bitch?
She's going to get me.
Stop shaking me, Nick. All
right, that's enough talking about my personal life for one day. Thanks for joining us here on Grapple Talk. We'll catch you guys next week. Right, stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.